everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague and friend, Joe Bell. We are Women in Words, and we're doing this podcast to talk about all the crazy shit that went on the blog. And sometimes we actually do talk about that, but most of the time it's sort of, we just kind of wander off, but we're trying not to do that.
I really like, you know, if you don't wander off into the weeds, you don't find the field of wildflowers. That's what I'm saying. You gotta
do it.
Well,
there's that. Yeah. Okay, that's true.
You gotta do it.
But, you know, we do have to kind of stay on point so people know what the fuck happened on the blog.
It's true, since that's the purpose.
That is the purpose.
I just figure if I get off track, that's on you, because you're in charge of, you know, wrangling things.
Oh, shit. All right. Who knew?
That seems like a
I'll add that to my resume.
Like, who knew? Who knew? Oh, he's so funny. You make me laugh.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, Joe, you have a story for us.
I do.
Y'all, she has a hell of a story. This is hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, I just sent this picture to Andy, dear listener. So, as I mentioned last week on our podcast, that, you know, we added a new kid to our family a couple of weeks ago, which is cool. His name is Michael. And but because there's a social worker involved, the rules are different.
Oh.
Did you hear the music? That was Noah calling me, and I just, like, sent him to voicemail, and I'm sure he's very unhappy with me right now.
Poor Noah.
Yeah, oh, poor Noah. God. Anyway, so...
The social worker.
There's a social worker involved, and that means the rules for how we do things have to be a little bit differently. Like, for example, we had to get a locking container to put all of the medication in, and, you know, imagine putting... Oh, my God! Stop! I don't know how to turn the thing down. Anyway, so
text back. I'm recording.
So I'm babbling. Anyway, so one of the things
the
is
container.
You know that I have a lot of weapons, right? We stockpile guns and ammo and all these things, right?
You've got weapons up the yin yang.
Yeah. So I get this message from Tara. I was the only one home. She was off doing I don't know what, and she just said, "Hey, can you move all the weapons? I think out of our bedroom. I think the social worker is coming by today." Because that was one of the checklist items that she gave us on her first walkthrough. Was just, "Hey, you know, this stuff is going to have to be put somewhere else,
locked up."
Yeah. So I go in, and this is after Tara's already, you know, hauled out a load full of stuff, right? So she'd already gotten probably half of it, and I'm thinking, oh, there can't be very much left. And so I just looked at it and went, oh my God. So I just started pulling it out and I put it on the bed, and so I could look at it all at one place. And we had still left in the bedroom, we had two handguns, two compound bows, one recurve bow, one crossbow, two katanas, three machetes, a tactical tomahawk, a splitting maul, which I don't know why the hell that was with the weapons, but it could do some damage.
it could be a good weapon.
It could, seriously. Yeah, a whole assortment of knives and this kit that's designed for, like, you know, cleaning wild game, right? So it's full of, like, all these big, nasty, gnarly blades in it. So it was like, oh my God, we are, and obviously the arrows to go with all the bows. But this is like Armageddon could come at any moment. And we're ready. We are totally ready. And it took me like, I don't know, 15 trips to get up and down the stairs to get it all down to my office where she wanted it. And I sent her a picture and I'm like, you know, you saved this for me on purpose. I'm sure you did. Because, you know, anyway, I just thought it was funny. That was my funny time.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Yeah. I was like,
all right, and we're going to be filming this episode of The Walking Dead tonight.
Right? Yeah, you know, it's weird, right? Because, you know, I mean, I know, academically, I know that we probably spend way too much money on weapons, because Tara really likes things that go boom, and she really likes things with sharp bladed edges, right? Those things just make her happy. And so we spend a lot of money on that stuff, but I don't think about it because it's not sitting out, you know? This stuff isn't on display. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was all tucked away in the closet, and the guns are, you know, whatever. Anyway, and the ammo is the only thing I think about because I keep that in my office all the time, right? But you just don't think about it. And I was thinking, oh, there can't be that much left. She already took a bunch of stuff out because she took all of our rifles, which was a lot. You know, because she took all those over to her parents' house so they wouldn't even be in the house, right? And it's just like, there can't be that much left. Because I saw everything she took out the first time. I suspect that we may be spending too much money on weapons. Possibly.
It, you know, from what I saw, I'm just saying. I might be in agreement with you.
Yeah.
But here's something funny. It's, you know, because you and I both grew up in rural America, so it's just like
the
standard
land of
operating
the rednecks.
Procedure.
Yeah, rednecks.
And it really doesn't matter. If you're from a rural part of the country, chances are you have experience with weapons. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what your political leanings are. If you're from that part of the world, it's just something you grow up with. And you just, you know, that's it. And I was thinking about this because I have a colleague who's, let's just say, on the more conservative side. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to be like on the more progressive side. And so this guy was going off on how, you know, the Democrats are going to come and take his guns and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you had 8 years of Obama and you still have your guns. So what's that about? And he's like, oh, well, you know, it could happen at any time. And he's like, you know, and you progressives are going to be, or he called us, you know, you liberals are going to be like, you know, you'll be so screwed if any kind of crazy goes down like that. And I looked at him and I said, dude, you know, the difference here between progressives and conservatives is that progressives don't talk about their arsenals.
Except for me, because nobody gave me the memo.
It's like we don't have to. I said, that's a conservative thing. So now I pretty much know everything that you have in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And he got really, really flustered. He's like, what do you mean? Don't talk about your arsenals. I said, we don't need to. We don't feel the need. We're not ammosexuals.
I love everything about that. Thank you.
So anyway, it was just like, damn, dude. I mean, that's such a stereotype. I have so many progressive friends who own weapons. They know how to use them. It's just not something that we go around and talk about. Like, oh, I just bought my tactical AK-15 or AR-15 or whatever the hell. I mean, we don't feel the need. We just go out, use them, put them back, and make sure that they're in working order. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I
thought that was funny.
Do you know anybody who owns an AR-15 or an AK? I mean, yeah. ARs are what you're supposed to own,
right? Do
you
know somebody who owns an AR-15? Yes, I do.
Do you? I don't. Or maybe I do, and they just didn't tell me.
Well, he's ex-military, so he stockpiles.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think I think
actually,
that... Go ahead.
He patrols with that thing. It's like,
okay, I do know people who own them, but not like, no, they're not like people I would consider friends. But, I think that's like... A step beyond. Like, I don't think that Tara and I are going to go to that level of, I think.
I'm completely, you know, I have issues, you know. I think AR-15s are just not something that you need for hunting, okay?
Right.
Unless you're planning on hunting people, in which case, why don't you just go film the next installment of Predator and, you know, it'll be all good. I don't understand the need for that kind of firepower. I really don't. But unless you are military and you're in combat, or
you're hunting people.
Exactly. I don't understand why, like, you know, Joe Schmo up the block needs to have an AR-15 or other sorts of, you know, and technically automatic weapons are still technically illegal, I believe. You know, you have to get special dispensation, but you can make a semi-automatic, almost automatic with, like, you know, add-ons.
Yeah.
So, anyway, whatever. But I just thought it was funny that I know tons of progressives with weapons, and they just don't broadcast it. You know, they don't advertise. Like, it seems to me conservatives tend to advertise more, like, yeah, look what I got. And I'm just like,
well, yeah, there's this whole idea that you can't be, you know, progressive and still actually value the Second Amendment. Like, I actually think the Second Amendment's really important. I just think
I don't know where that idea comes from. It's like, whatever. You know, those of us who grew up in rural areas, yeah, it's just second. It's just, you know, something you do. And everybody knows it's not a big deal. And we all got training when I was growing up. This was before the NRA went really crazy off the rails.
Yeah,
this was when it was, moderate.
During the Reagan administration?
Yeah, right before the Carter and Reagan administration. And they would offer training, gun safety training, to schools. And because we grew up in a rural area, all the students, you know, we participated in that. And we got gun safety training, which I thought was a pretty good idea because a lot of rural kids went hunting. And during my high school and elementary careers, school years, we got, like, every student had the school granted you something like at least 3 to 5 days to go hunting with your family.
So we had the same thing.
It's like, it was like, okay. And so my folks thought it was a good idea to get some gun safety lessons. And, you know, they usually it was either a law enforcement officer. And I think the NRA actually did some of the trainings. Again, this was before they went completely batshit winging, not so cuckoo over guns.
Yeah. Well, they stopped being like a gun safety advocacy, which is what they used to be. And they, and they just started, I mean, they turned into the gun lobby, which was all about gun manufacturers and being able to make a profit. And it's really, really unfortunate because, I mean, the policies of the NRA in the past were extremely, like, mirrored the policies that Democrats want to have in place now, right? Like, they used to they used to be very, very sensible. But
Yeah, that's true. And then I don't know, their board was taken over by people with different ideas and perspectives, and now we see the result. And I'm, of course, not blaming the NRA for everything that's been happening, but they are an extremely powerful lobbying group. And I just wish that the NRA was like it used to be, you know, when it was about, you know, gun safety and pushing for reforms and, you know, agreeing that not everybody should be able to have a firearm. There are just some people, friends, who really should not have firearms. And should not have such ready access to them. Mm-hmm. You know, you could walk into like a Walmart store that has a sporting goods section, and you could buy a gun in some of those. And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's way too easy to get your hands on weapons, especially if you're kind of a person with nefarious intent, or you have a hair trigger, pun intended, temper. And we see the results of that.
So, yeah, I on our last road trip,
our last gun buying spree.
No. On our last road trip, the only reason we didn't bring a gun home, like, because we found a rifle that we really wanted to get while we were on vacation. I think we were in North Dakota or maybe Wyoming. I don't remember. We were somewhere in rural America, and the only reason we didn't buy it is because we were concerned about the amount of storage space we had in the back of the car, because we'd already shipped some stuff home. So we didn't buy it because of economical, not you know, economical, or like, oh, maybe we shouldn't take a gun across the country. It was strictly, where the hell are we going to put it if we buy it? Because it's so easy to buy things. It's so easy. And, you know, I don't mind for me that it's so easy, but I think that other people should be concerned that it's so easy for anybody.
Yeah, but, and, you know, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, so, yeah, this guy just cracked me up. And the look on his face when I said, well, the difference is progressives don't talk about their arsenals. So you have no idea what we have.
It's true.
Like, he kind of went pale. And, like, he thought I was joking. And I wasn't. I was like, dude, I'm not joking. I was like, I know so many progressives, and probably most of them have weapons.
Mm-hmm. Not all. But
yeah, but not all conservatives have weapons either. So, you know.
This is true. This is true.
So, anyway, I just thought that was funny. It was a funny exchange.
I think that people need to start looking at commonalities instead of trying to figure out all the ways that we are different.
I know. He was all like, liberals this and liberals that. I'm like, dude, come on now. You're not opening a convo here. Like, chill out.
That's so funny.
Oh my god.
But on the upside, anyway. in the last election proved that the NRA is in fact losing power. It doesn't have as much as it used to. The lobby isn't as strong as it used to be.
I think that the organization became more interested in greed, mm-hmm. in making a profit over, you know, it's what it used to be. Because I think it's important to have organizations that advocate for gun safety and for, you know, gun laws that make sense. And the NRA is not that anymore. I really do think that it's now all about money, like you said, and going after the manufacturers to make more and make more money. And it's just all about money mm-hmm. over any other kind of thing. And that's just really, really sad. And it's fucking dangerous. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
this is true.
Not to suggest they're the only organization that is all about money. I'm not saying that at all, because there are bunches of organizations and that's pretty much what they're all about.
Right.
But anyway, whatever. But the picture friends that Joe sent.
It was seriously, it was a lot.
Like, okay. And like, start filming our version of Walking Dead now.
Yeah, we have a California King and it took up the bed. It's like, that's maybe too much.
I was just like, damn! All right, I'll take the crossbow and
that crossbow is fucking scary. Like, crossbows are scary. If you are ever feeling like, oh, maybe I should get one of those, yeah, don't. They're fucking scary. I'm just that's
okay, good tip.
That's it. They are terrifying. That's my
good tip, Joe. Thanks.
All right, fine. But it is. That's my crossbow advice.
Friends, be responsible with your crossbows.
Please.
Good advice.
Did I tell you where good we advice. Got our crossbow?
No. Where?
My cousin sent it to Noah and Wyatt for Christmas 1 year. Yeah. Yeah. This is what we do. This is how it works when you know.
Oh, shit. All yeah. right. All right, friends. Now after we went, that was our weeds, our first weeds talk. Now
let's. Hey, these are important things.
These are, yes, it was, yes, that was important. And everything we do is important, Jeff. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes, I like to think so, too. Okay.
All right, let's jump into this and tell people. I mean, friends, really, there really were things that happened on the blog this week.
Good things.
Good things. And so now we're going to talk about them for reals. And then, of course, we'll wander off. But we'll come back. Don't worry. Okay, on March 2nd, Ann Etter, one of our resident readers, did a blog. And she just turned 50, she said, this past Monday. So happy birthday, Ann. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
Woo! And so her point here is that 50 is one of those ages common to goal setting benchmarks. By the time I'm 50, I want to have done insert goal here. Although I am a goal-oriented person, the only goal I had for 50 was more of a statement. I'm going to be one of those women who wears her hair long at 50. This was from years ago watching my mom and her friends cut their hair when they became too old for long hair. Thankfully, times shift, and it is not even unusual that I run around in the same hairstyle I had when I was 9. So right on, Anne. You do you.
I love that.
So the first book she's going to talk about here is In Development by Rachel Spangler. I think that's her latest. That's Rachel's latest. And Anne says it's about achieving goals. So one of the main characters has her eyes set on a movie role, and the other main character has her eyes set on greater media exposure before her next album. Spoiler alert, this is a romance, so they also find each other along the way.
Of course they do.
And she adores this story, and it's audiobook. So we're also talking audiobooks, because Jove, Anne also narrates audiobooks.
Yes, she does, because she's fabulous like that.
And she narrated In Development.
Oh, nice. Snap.
Right on, Anne. She also says, you know, moving on, and another book here that she talks about is Anne McMahon's Beowulf for Cretans, a love story. And I think this was just shortlisted at the Lambdas.
Nice.
If I'm not thick. And speaking of Lambda Literary finalists, were just released, friends. You can find out who's on there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So Anne McMahon. So Anne is a fangirl of certain narrators of certain books. So this particular narrator who narrated Anne McMahon's latest is Christine Williams. And she apparently reads most of Anne's books. Her voices and character performances are wonderful. And I think that's a really cool thing. You listen to audiobooks, right? So do you have, like, do you, like, seek out the narrators of particular books? Or how does that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Right now, I've been binging on Ilona Andrews, who writes, you know, paranormal stuff set in the South. She's all about, like, you know.
Yeah, I know who that is, yeah.
Yeah, and it's awful. This is not an endorsement of the books. They're, like, straight up, like, you know, Harlequin. Like, they're not Harlequins, but that's what they feel like. They're very much like, you know, the feisty woman and the strong alpha male and blah, blah, blah. But the stories are really interesting, and they're set in a very interesting world. And the narrator is amazing. She's really, really good, and she does all the narration for all their books. So it's good. That's my particular indulgence now.
So do you think that the narrator makes the books a better story?
Yes, absolutely.
That's really interesting.
Well, I don't like it. That makes a huge difference. If the narrator's like obnoxious, I can't listen to it. I just can't handle it.
So what if you had like sort of a mediocre story, but a really good narrator? Would that make the story better, you think?
Yes, absolutely.
It's interesting. Huh?
Yes, absolutely. I've listened to books just simply because because of the narrator. Like I do, I'll go on and I will search specifically for you know, a narrator that I like, you know, so I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I thought of that.
It makes a difference. And I've met some, not met, but been introduced to some really, really good, talented people and to some books that I wouldn't have read otherwise.
Oh, cool. So, you know, points out that Abby Craydon reads a number of books by various authors, and she reads one of Anne's favorite Radcliffe novels, Faded Love.
Cool.
And she's the voice of the character Quinn and says, so sexy.
Nice.
And then Anne makes an interesting point. She says when she reads the book in print, she still hears the narrator's voice. Do you do that? Do you, like, listen to an audiobook and then read it in print, and do you hear the narrator's voice?
No. Because I very, 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 very infrequently get a chance to read something in print. And if I do, it's because it's something that I need to read and maybe I don't have access to it in an audiobook. So I can't comment on this one. I got nothing.
That is interesting, though, to think about.
Yeah. Oh, super interesting.
If you were to listen to the audiobook first and then you decided you wanted it in print and then you read it, I wonder if, like, if you really dug the audio, the narrator's voice, and you're reading it, if you'd be like Anne, and you'd be like, you can hear the narrator reading it to you. That would be really cool.
Oh, I suspect she's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Lisa Cordeleone is the voice of Robin Alexander's books, and she captures their humor so well. And Anne says, these are favorite car trip books for me. I agree. Humor on a road trip? Hell yes. I love to listen to podcasts that are funny when I'm on a road trip.
You listen to podcasts?
Oh, hell yeah.
I think you should try out audiobooks. I think that you would be pleasantly surprised by them.
I don't doubt it. I just really get into my podcasts. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
that's just me, though, you know. Also, she points out that some authors read their own stuff. Georgia Beers read Starting from Scratch. And Karen Callmaker has read her novella, Comfort and Joy. I did not know Karen read that. That would be really cool to hear. So the point is, Audible lets her have a few free audio codes for in development. And so she will give one away here. How about that? So
nice. Friends,
Rachel Spangler's in development, a few audio codes are available. So dun, 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 check in on this blog. And if you have stories of goals you met recently or are looking forward to achieving, share below. And she gets to continue her audio journey with When the Stars Sang by Carolyn Werlinger. Look for it in early summer. Oh, cool.
That is super cool.
That is super damn cool.
I like everything about that story.
This is a good story. Thanks, Anne. Mm-hmm. And again, happy belated birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. Aw. 50. All right, friends. Now, March 3rd. Dun, dun, dun. Satchi Green joined us to talk about Best Lesbian Erotica of the Year, Volume 3, which I think, Jove, if I'm not mistaken, is also a Lambda finalist this year.
It is, yes. Yes, it is. And, you know, our friend and fellow Women in Wordster, I say that because of you, by the way, Women in Wordster.
I know, right?
That's not even a thing. But R.G. Emanuel has a story in that book, in that collection, I believe.
She does. Yay! Congrats to RG and all the authors. And speaking of Satchi Green, friends, Jope and I have this other venture called Dirt Road Books, and we are releasing Satchi's latest collection, her latest anthology of short stories that she's put together from over the years. And it's like a fabulous, wide-ranging tour de force of romance, some erotica, but mm-hmm. also incredible settings, historical fiction. You've got, like, she's got a pirate story set in, I think, the 1930s. She's got kind of a military-ish story. She's got two, one set in contemporary times and one set in, like, in Vietnam. She's got a story set in 1980s Amsterdam. I mean, she is, like, all over the globe here.
Isn't there more than... I think there's more than just two military stories, because there's the one that's like, no, I don't know. Just don't listen to me.
Give it away.
No, I don't know. Don't listen to me anymore.
Oh, and she's got some, like, you know, kind of ghostly paranormalish tinged stories in this anthology. Just, it was just like when you, oh yeah, I know which one you're talking about. The one set in World War II. And the stories just, I mean, the way that they range so widely with these common elements of characters, like, finding themselves but also engaging with other characters. I really love Satchi's writing, so
I do really too. She's this. Very talented.
Very. And friends, that book drops March 19th. Dun dun dun. So be ready.
Yeah, just it's saying. Cool.
All right. So Best Lesbian Erotica. If you haven't read these collections, again, Satchi likes a range of stories. So there's a huge quantity of lesbian erotica available, and Satchi says there's a vast range of differences in quality, even if we weed out the books meant for the male gaze. But individual tastes vary widely, too. So the best I can do is give you some sense of what you can find in this year's. And the best way is to share part of my introduction. So that's what she did. She shared part of her introduction, and then talks about some of the stories that are in the anthology, like, wow, this one's set on a plane high above the Pacific en route from Tokyo to Honolulu. I wonder what happens. In San Francisco, the south of France, a massage in a Moroccan public bath, a cabin, Las Vegas casino. Most of the stories have contemporary settings. Two more are set at least partially in the past. So, and Satchi always picks, like, different kinds of themes in some of her anthologies. Like in the erotica anthology, she'll have different themes going, and she just collects I just love the range of authors and styles mm-hmm. that she puts into these, and finishes it out by saying all of these stories include hot, intense sex in its many splendid manifestations. I'll leave you to discover those scene by scene. A word of caution. You may not get jet lag from this journey, but a suitable recovery layover between stories is highly recommended. Trust me.
That's good.
Right on, Satchi. Oh my God. That's the best. Okay, I'm excited now.
Are you?
I am excited for this, and also for her anthology that we published. I'm really excited about that.
I'm very excited about that.
Okay, March 5th, Anika Batson stopped by, and she does a lot of really thought-provoking blogs. She hit me up on Tumblr before she posted this, and she was like, Andy, I'm
Why?
She doesn't need to be scared.
What are you scared of? And she just thought that maybe it was like too deep. And I'm like, no, nothing is too deep for women in words. We are women and we have words and we like to share them.
We have lots of words. Words are good.
And so this is just some of the things that Anika's going through. She's working through some self-sabotaging behaviors. And straight up, Joe, who the fuck doesn't have self-sabotaging behaviors?
Oh, I do.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have them. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with all my journeys in therapy, I still have to catch myself. And I think that also comes as a territory if you're in a marginalized population, or if you're a woman, especially in this culture, if you're queer, we all have self-sabotaging behaviors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking about it after reading this blog. I was like, oh my God, yes. Yes, I did that. Yeah, I did that. I would get into really stupid relationships. Did that too. Oh my God. So the point is, we all have self-sabotaging behaviors, and it's really cool if you recognize that you do, and then you try to do something healthy about it to hopefully change those behaviors, or to be at least be aware of them, so that when you start engaging in them, you can kind of back off and say, oh, yeah, I better not do that.
Yeah.
And, I was reading through this. Anika has, I think, it sounds to me like she has some issues with some depression too. And she says, just because I'm having a depression thought doesn't mean things are coming to a close. But she's been having some trouble with relationships. And like, she assumes that she's not worthy of relationships. And oh my God, raise your hand if you've had that thought. I've got both hands up, friends, because I went through that. And there are still days I wake up where I feel kind of like an imposter in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get that?
Not about relationships, no. But about other things, yeah. I regularly wonder why my friends are my friends. Because I think, most of the time I feel like, you know, a fraud. Like, I'm not really as, I don't know, as cool as I want people to think I am. And I'm afraid that people are going to figure it out. And then we won't be friends anymore. Yeah.
That's sort of imposter syndrome.
Oh, it totally is. Totally is. I just don't have that with, you know, with my relationship with Tara. I'm very confident in that. Like, I have no, like, but, you know, we've been doing it for a really fucking long time. Like, I'm very, very close to passing that point where my time with her will be longer than, you know, my time without her. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, wow.
The amount of time. Yeah. So, because this is our 24th anniversary is coming up this year, and we hooked up when I was 24. So, you know,
boom.
I've been doing it for a long time. So I'm very comfortable with the fact that, you know, we are going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I adore her. But I always feel just a little bit outclassed by my friends. But this doesn't have anything to do with them. It has to do with, like, my personal wacky insecurities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever. I don't think we need to go into this therapy session. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I was just asking because making a point, friends. My point is, everybody's got something, kind of crazy shit going on. And Anika says that she was talking to one of her best friends, and she was defending herself a rather unhealthy choice. And her best friend called her out on it. And Anika then said, I can't change because I've been this way for so long. And my best friend and I both know that was a bullshit response. So she says, just like this, there's no reason I can't actively work to stop sabotaging my own happiness. And that is the damn truth. It takes work.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do it, you can do it. But fuck yeah, it takes work and investment. And honestly, when I unpacked all my shit, it took me... The hardest part of that was... peeling back the layers and accepting responsibility for some of the shit that I'd done and fucked up on. That's hard to like realize that you were kind of an asshole sometimes.
Yeah.
And to own that, you know, it was just, that was the hardest part. It was like holding that mirror up and just being like, oh God. Yeah. Okay. That was pretty bad. You know, or Jesus, did I really do that? Or, oh man. And, I actually made amends to some people because I was just, my depression was just, I was fucked up and out of control and said some really awful things. And so anyway, yeah, after I started my shit together, I then, you know, found some people and said, look, I'm really sorry about that. And I just wanted to clear the air a little bit. So that's the hardest part, I think, is that mirror.
Yeah. But I totally get that. Yeah. Yeah, Andy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, wow. Anyway, thank you, Anika. And yes, therapy is a good thing. Just putting that out there. So mm-hmm. Especially, you know, and friends, if you're looking for a therapist, don't give up if the first one isn't for you. Okay, don't think, oh, well, that's it. I'm not going to try again. Sometimes it takes a while to find the right therapist. It took me a while. I went through two or three before I found one that I really could work with. And she was the one that really helped me develop the tools for when I hold that mirror up and I need to deal with things. Mm-hmm. And so it took a while. Don't be discouraged, okay? This is part of the journey, at least. The fact that you are looking for a therapist and you know what you want and you know what you're going to be comfortable with says a lot. So don't settle for someone who you're not sure is you're going to be comfortable with, okay? Because this is some serious work and you need to trust the person you're doing the work with. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Whew! Damn. Whew, got some quicksand there. Okay. March 7th, R.G. Emanuel joined us, and congratulations, R.G., your story is in a Lambda-nominated anthology. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
R.G. wanted to talk about sound, and that's kind of a cool continuity because we were just talking about audiobooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So R.G. says, you know, like so many other people, there are sounds that set my nerves on edge. And again, everybody's got something. If you are a hearing person, and I mean, you're able to hear, and you will. There are sounds that just drive you freaking crazy. What's one for you, Joe?
Children screaming.
Oh God, yeah, that's a good one.
Because you know, if you're if you're screaming, it means that something's wrong, and I need to come rescue you. So if you're screaming just because you're happy, go ahead and laugh instead. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you're happy and you know it, just laugh.
Yeah, it used to drive Noah crazy when he was younger. He'd go out to play with his friends, and if his friends screamed, I would make him come inside and stop playing because I couldn't do anything with other people's children. But if I removed one kid from the equation, the screaming would stop. And I know, is that terrible? Yeah, but you know what? It worked. I eventually convinced all the neighborhood kids that screaming is not necessary. So
it's really not unless not. There's like you need help.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why that's my whole thing. If you need to scream, by God, you scream. But you need to actually need something, not just because, you know, you feel like making that sound. Nobody needs to hear you make that sound.
I agree. But. So RG's things are whistling and continuous humming drive her crazy.
Yeah. I know people who pin clicking drives them nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a pin clicker. That's why I know that, because I get to hear all of that. I'm making people crazy. Yeah.
But she finds the sound of packing tape being ripped off a roll kind of soothing.
Oh, that's twisted.
She says, there's something about listening to someone pull piece after piece of tape as they put together a package that it puts her in her trance. Maybe it's kind of meditative. I don't know.
Well, good for her.
I know, right? Yeah. And then she says, visual correlation for her is watching women put on makeup during their morning commute on the train. She's like, it's not a sexual thing. It's just, it's a ritual. And she says, rituals in general compel me. I'm fascinated with rituals and watching, you know, she watches different people. And it's true, friends, on the morning commute on the train, RG lives in Brooklyn. There are women and a few dudes, frankly, who get on the train and that's what they're doing. They're putting makeup on. And they have like a set way of doing it. Because if you are a regular commuter, you will see the same people on your train every day. And yeah. they do the same fucking things. They're engaging in rituals, which is, it is kind of soothing to watch somebody just like go through the motions of this ritual, putting on their makeup.
Agreed. I mean, not really. I don't actually want to watch people put on their makeup, but I get what you're saying.
Sometimes I'll see that, and this scares the shit out of me. People who put their makeup on when they're in traffic.
Mm, my cousin does that. Oh, drives me nuts. God.
Why are you doing that? Stop it.
Well, I'm not. The cousin who sent my kids the crossbow. Same Stop cousin.
Oh my, there's a theme. Oh my God. Anyway.
Oh, I love my family.
And so it is with literature. All writers and readers have their own particular quirks and idiosyncrasies, things that attract and repel us. What bothers me is that the loudest noises are the ones that get the most attention.
Agreed.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say, RG, where the hell did you find this cartoon? It's a picture of, you know, Charles Schulz's Lucy from Peanuts. And it's obviously been altered because I seriously don't think Lucy would have said this in the original Charles Schulz. And it says, some asshole is chewing with his mouth open and it sounds like an army of vaginas marching through mud.
Oh my.
Oh my. I cannot.
That everything about that just feels wrong. I don't even know how to respond to that.
It's so wrong, but I can't stop laughing. Okay. All right.
Army of vaginas marching through mud.
I just can't.
Okay, I love vaginas, and now it just feels kind of wrong and gross. Oh,
I'm asking, but why would vaginas march through mud?
Why would they? I don't know why that would happen.
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Oh God. Anyway, okay.
I feel like that's not a quote that a woman would come up with.
Okay, anyway. Please, she says, for the love of all that is holy, don't continuously snap your gum with every single chew you make.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not allowed to chew gum around her then.
Oh, do you do that with
gum?
Oh,
yeah. No, it drives Tara nuts. No. She's all like, oh my you're God. Chewing gum like a fucking cow. Knock it off. Yeah, I get to hear about that from, obviously, Tara says it with love.
It's coming from a loving place.
Obviously, yeah. Or not. Whatever.
Anyway, sounds, y'all. So that seems to be kind of a weird little theme we got going on this week. March 8th, Sam Liddell joined us. I never know if it's Liddell or Liddell. I'm going to have to ask. Let's fucking ask her.
If, okay. Yeah, if it was up to me, I would say Liddell. So.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Sam was in the Peace Corps.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Is it so cool? She served 27 months in Peru. 27 months, friends. That's like, you know, over 2 years.
I want to go to
Peru.
And
so she wrote this little kind of. I know. She wrote this cool little, she has a photo of herself there with, I guess that's her host family or one of the host people she knew, the little brother. And she has like this cool kind of like, I don't know, it was sort of like Dr. Seussian kind of verse poetry about him, you know, because I guess he's got special needs. But anyway, his name is Diego Martin. And he was a shining light during Sam's time in the desert city of Ica. So she has pictures, a variety of pictures with him and of him. And he's so cute. Oh, my God. So she says that she wanted to write this blog this month. And it stemmed from two things. The first, it's Peace Corps week, wow, I didn't even know there was such a thing. And those months in Peru changed her life in more ways than she can articulate. And the second place this post came from was that Diego's birthday was on March 6th. He turned 12, and according to my host mom, is as much of a troublemaker as ever. I wanted to share his brightness and joy for life with the world.
Nice.
I might be getting a little bit weepy right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this last verse here of the little poem she wrote, there's a boy in Peru who has my heart, though my time with him was short in the grander scheme of things. He's still my hermanito querido, no matter how many miles we are apart. Oh, my God.
That's very sweet.
That is so sweet. Jesus Christ. Yeah. What a great story to end on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you, Sam. Oh, my God. And Diego, feliz cumpleaños.
Oh, listen to you.
I know. Every once in a while, I do something kind of cool, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, no worries. I got your secret.
Okay, and I did want to tell people that if you're interested in finding out what the Lambda Literary Awards, the finalist list was, then you can go to their website, which is the cryptically named lambdaliterary.org.
Oh,
in our write-up. And then you can find out like who the finalists are for this year's Lambda Awards. So congratulations also to everybody who is a finalist. Good luck.
Tricky.
I know, right? Or you can find them on Twitter at Lambda Literary. What? Oh, my God.
Super tricky.
All right. Joe, did you have anything else?
Oh, you know, I probably should, but I really don't. I don't know. I don't know. That probably wasn't the right way for me to say that. No, I don't. I don't have anything special today. I'm sorry.
Let's just remind people. Sachi Green's Wild Rides anthology with Dirt Road Books drops March 19th. Woo! Yeah. Keep an eye out for that.
That's exciting.
I think that's really exciting. I'm excited.
It is. It's super exciting.
And also everybody go see Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I want to do that.
So that's my other thing you should do.
I don't know when I'll actually get to do that, but I want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's okay. It. That's all I got.
Oh, does that mean I should do the thing where I,
you should, you bumble should take us on out of here. Bring us out of the weeds.
Dear listener, this has been yet another week in review for Women in Words. I am Jove Bell here today with Andy Marquette. You can find us online at womenwords.org. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Oh, yeah, and hit like and subscribe and all this stuff. Thanks. Bye.